I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
I'm Kara, and welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we are going to be talking about always making sure you look for ways to help your clients. Mm-hmm. So, and anticipating their needs. I think all of us have been to places where they had bad customer service and you just get annoyed.
And you don't go back.
Yes. No. Or you throw a fit at the salad bar.
Oh, you have a data point? There's no carrots.
Okay, so my statistics. So this one I found the most interesting, that investing in a new customer is between 5 and 25 times more expensive than retaining the existing ones. Yep. So I think this is something that we all know, but seeing that on paper is pretty shocking. Mm-hmm. Yep. So why don't you talk about, Chris, a time in your past where you've either experienced great customer service or bad customer service? I mean, yeah, great, yeah. Or bad.
Well, a lot of times is when I like lecture to the college students up at A&M, is like I always ask, it's like, tell me a restaurant, you know, where you get a good customer service experience. In bar none, everybody says Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then I'm like, okay, tell me a restaurant, and because we're live, I'm not going to say it, but they usually say one particular restaurant where they get bad customer service. So and it's funny because you can almost tell the whole room, they all kind of nod their heads in agreement. So, and part of it is because so much of the experience that we get is bad. When you get good customer service, it really mm-hmm. stands out, mm-hmm. you know? So I think part of it is, you know what good customer service is, and you know what bad customer service is. So when we're running a business, we need to make sure that our clients on the other side of the table have a good experience.
Yes, so, and a lot of times the client's experience is the only thing that differentiates us from other businesses.
Right.
It's very rare to have something that's so niche that like no one else does
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
So
you probably wouldn't be in business if that was the case.
Yes. Right? Buddy, what have you learned about customer experience in your life so far?
So far, customer service, it comes natural to a lot of the people I'm around. Obviously, I think it's overlooked in some regard because you stated the facts that, you know, retention business is actually one of the fastest growing in typical business models, meaning that the existing customers, if you have good customer service, you're going to continue to grow that business.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend a lot of time with new business development and going after, and it does take a lot of your time. So you have to have a good balance between, you know, going after new business and maintaining your existing business. In my space, we call that hunting and farming, right? You have farmers that are there tending to the equipment. You have hunters that are going out there getting new business and getting after it. And both are difficult. But I think when I build teams, I look for those two types. I look customer service and the ability to see a customer, understand what they need. The need behind the need is my term from Miller Hyman. I wish I would have brought the book, Chris. But it's really effective at sort of training, a sales team on what a client needs, how to look for different buyers and people that have the purchasing power and what they're looking for. And that's really what you're after. I mean, you know, I do like the development of, you know, like what Chick-fil-A does, My Pleasure. All of those things really can build to something that are foundational. But then when you get up and you start to mature your career, that's where you get into true customer service and then developing into a true hunter.
Yes. So I think anticipating your client's needs, it's not just your salesperson's job. It's everyone in the company.
Yeah.
Because sometimes your clients will get handed off to another person in the company. So everyone just needs to be looking out and saying, oh, this could happen down the road.
Yeah.
And we need to be looking at it. So for us at our marketing company, if someone hires us to do their social media, we'll handle that. But the goal of our social media is to push people to their website.
Right.
So I also need to be looking at their website and making sure that it is lined out and has good content So that way, when a customer goes there, they don't just leave right away and they're like, well, that was a waste of money.
Well, yeah, because all three of us were in consulting, right? Yes. So, I mean, if we ran a restaurant, it's different than like Tanya runs a quilt shop. So, you know, so in our line of business, people pay us to anticipate where things are moving.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a young man who played he played college football and played defensive back. And I said, what's the difference between a great college defensive back and a good high school? He said it's one thing. He goes, it's anticipation. Mm-hmm. He said a great defensive back can anticipate where things are going to go. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the same way in business, a lot of what we're doing.
Yes. And I do think it is a little different from business to consumer businesses,
yeah,
like a quilt shop, mm-hmm, to our businesses, which are more business to business. I think it's more important in business to business.
Right, right.
Because a lot of times your client is hiring you to take over something that they don't have time to do or the capacity to do. Right. So they need you to be forward thinking in what you do with them.
Yep.
So, Bunny, I feel like you have so much to say about this because this is your entire role.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So why don't you give us a few key things that you do or a few key points that you think are very practical in this?
Okay. Well, I mean, from my experience, the amount of work that you put into, you know, the meetings and the engagements with your clients before you meet with them has everything to do with the success of your meeting. So to Chris's point about the defensive back, I love sports analogies. And I feel like the guys that are anticipating what the quarterback's going to do have prepared with their film work and they understand the offense. And just like that, you know, you're dealing with different stakeholders in the company. You have a high level of communication. You're kind of doing the background work, understanding, you know, where the value pieces are for each of the cast of characters that are in the company. And so when you go into a particular meeting or engagement, you're going to challenge that need behind the need, that customer service. What do they want? They come to you with a problem. You say, are you sure that's the problem? And then if you have a prepared question or two that actually brings out the right answer or what actually they really need, that brings all that brings out the best in your customer service to the client.
Because a lot of times what they say their problem is really just a symptom of something else.
That's correct.
So you
gotta get the root.
Yes, you have to get to the root. So you said to prepare for your meetings. This is actually something I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that sometimes I invest way too much time into a meeting and then I feel like it was a waste. Like, do you have like a rule of thumb or kind of how you've done it in the past, how much time you should invest into things?
Yeah, I mean, part of mine is that I try to find what I call coaches or people that are sort of my trusted advisors. And it's not that they give up any information, but it's someone that feels comfortable with me and trusts me that I'm after their good. They know that, like one of my mentors told me, my job is to make the guy on the other side of the desk look good. Okay, whether it's with the regulator, his boss, peers, all of those things come into play in terms of the psychology of it. But if they know that I'm trying to do what's best for them, then the coaches will tell me. So before a meeting, I will talk to them. I will try to get some information. Then that helps the engineers and the guys, you know, our group leads that are going in, building a scope and trying to understand. So a lot of the development that we're doing at ADV, there's a lot of prospecting. We just went into a meeting with a major client. And yeah, I was doing a lot of back talking to various stakeholders around how we can make the most out of this meeting. And it really helped.
So having a really good network of people.
Yeah, and coaches that are working for that organization. Absolutely.
I can see that. I have that with some of my clients too. It's like my inside man.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody needs an inside man or a woman.
Either way, it's we're gender
inside
neutral.
Person.
Yeah, we're just saying man, and it covers all of them.
Human being.
That's what we should say. Our inside human being.
Inside people. Cats and dogs.
So, Chris, I think you do a really good job at anticipating your clients' needs and also really preparing for your meetings and your proposals, like putting some time and investing into that. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you've learned to do that and maybe how much time you spend doing that.
So of course I got a couple books. Always gotta have a book. So this is one of my favorite books. It's called Selling the Invisible by Harry Beckwith. And the very concept is we're in a service industry, mm-hmm. right? And really, he talks about the United States versus today versus 100 years ago. A lot of what we do is, it's the invisible, and the invisible part of it is the service part of it. And then another topic, so for those of you who are listening or watching, Kara's the one that came up with these topics. So I actually have a book called The Anticipatory Organization, which is, it talks all about this. So a couple things. One is, you know, when you're a leader of a company, so obviously I function as president, one of my major roles is to look down the road where things are going, right? Mm-hmm. So it's anticipating. So it's a lot of what you both talked about. You got your intel. You need to be well-read. You need to know what the current trends are. I mean, with COVID, I mean, gosh, it's just been a crazy couple of years, kind of knowing where things are going and the inability to anticipate that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is you've got to be willing to take some risks, right? So part of being a leader is anticipating what are the downsides. If this doesn't work, what happens? If this is going to work, what are the upsides to that? So, you know, those are the couple of things that I really think about a lot. You know, Kara mentioned being prepared for meetings. And I'll admit, I had a lunch meeting on Tuesday with the vice president of a pipeline company. I probably spent 8 to 10 hours preparing mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. Now, I was asking for a lot of work, right? So I needed to know where he was going to be, where I thought maybe mm-hmm. the conversation would go. And then we even have internal meetings, buddy. Yeah. You know, sometimes we'll get everybody in a room and kind of do a scrum and mm-hmm. say, hey, this is, what do y'all think I need to talk about in this meeting? And it really is a lot more fun, because then when I come back and we get work, everybody's kind of bought into it. So mm-hmm. I think part of it is, as an organization, when you got really smart people working for you, you all have different perspectives, and so as a group, you can anticipate through groupthink.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, one thing that all three of us are very good at in our companies is we're very collaborative, mm-hmm. and I think there really is a lot of benefit to that, because when you're dealing with one person, you can only have so many good ideas,
yep.
whereas when you have five of us, then you have even more ideas.
Well, I read one time that none of us is dumb as all of us, so that's the other side of that, right?
Yeah, that's true. So you got to have smart people.
Yeah, so which is like, I'm gonna tell you the dumb part of me, so let's make sure we don't do that.
Yes, or maybe have people who are just really blunt, which I get told I am all the time. So they'll be like, that's a dumb idea, which I've never said that to you.
Thanks, Kara.
What would you do if I said? No, I really haven't.
Yeah, exactly. You might have thought that. I hope you thought that at least once, because all my ideas aren't that good.
I think I've thought, I think we've had some better ideas.
Exactly. That might not work.
All right. So let's talk about a practical step that listeners can do to implement this. I touched on mine earlier. As a marketing company, we normally start with a smaller project. So if you're in a business, this even really applies to retail. Like if mm-hmm. someone comes in and they're like, oh, I need a top. Well, like, why do you need a top? You're taking pictures. Oh, you also need earrings and you need this. You can always add on.
Upsell.
Yes, an upsell. And if they don't do it right then, you can kind of plan it out. So in 30 days, I think we should start talking about this. And then, you know, 30 days later, that'll lead you into another topic.
Oh, that's good. So you create the anticipation train.
Yes. Yeah. So you are anticipating their needs, but you're also kind of creating the needs, like maybe planting that seed in their mind mm-hmm. That they didn't even realize that they needed
it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Buddy?
You know, what I recommend to, you know, not only the engineers that we work with in terms of, you know, the consulting side, but also even sales teams is, you know, you got to listen, you know, you got to have good prepared questions, or you need to be able to think on your feet when you're talking to a client, so that you're, you know, it just puts you in the best position to provide value, build trust, and that you really care. So, you know, questions and listening to their answers, and you know, understanding what your follow-up needs to be, and then more importantly, what their follow-up needs to be. The client needs to have the ability to have something to do to continue to engage in developing, you know, some business or, you know, a scope of work.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that you listen. Mm-hmm. We tend to want to talk and anticipate their answer, so we already have the next answer, and you have to listen, because they may not be answering the way you think they are.
Yeah, good questions and then listen.
Yes. Chris, what about you?
So I think we talked about it, but I think part of this is being prepared, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you do outside your job determines how successful you'll do in your job,
yes.
right? So it's like being well-read, talking to people, building a network, right? Because if you build a really good network, odds are, if you make a few phone calls, you can get the information that you need. So I think that's one thing. I think then the other thing is, and we haven't talked about this a ton, we talked about it a little bit, but it's being empathetic, right? It's really understanding the person, you know, buddy, like you talked about, the person on the other side of the table, how do you make them the hero?
Yeah.
How do you make their problem go away? How do you make them be more successful? And I mean, it's kind of the golden rule, right? I mean, if you treat others the way that you want to be treated, people are going to want to do business with you.
That's right.
And then ultimately, they become more successful. Mm-hmm. And if you're working for them, the more successful that they're going to be, the more opportunities you have to serve and to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of stuff that we're probably taught as kids that maybe we didn't pay attention, but you know, once you start a business, you're like, these are you know, eternal principles that really can help you build a business.
Yeah, yes.
For sure.
Well, people do business with other people.
That they like.
Yes.
Sometimes you do business with people you have to, but...
Then you try to never do that
like
again.
Like my septic system, when it's not working over here, you know, I'd rather not call that guy, but, you know, I'm glad when he shows up.
Yeah. Gosh, I never want to be that company.
Yeah, I know. It's job security, though.
That's true. So normally we talk about what our next topic is, but I haven't picked one yet. So what should we talk about next week? What's a good business topic? I'm going to put y'all on the spot.
We can talk about marketing. How about marketing and sales?
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah, marketing matters.
Right? Yes. Let's talk about marketing, sales, how they differ, and how they complement each other.
Perfect.
All right. Perfect. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks.